organization, I know that you think of me, my family, all in your prayers, mission work, great for that, means the world to me. We've been discussing the gospel today, and we've been discussing the gospel this entire week. We'll go ahead and share with you what I have in mind. We didn't put this on the flyer or anything, but kind of let you know the methodology, the course that we'll be taking. What I wanted to do today was to spend three lessons with you defining the gospel. And so what we've looked at in the gospel, if we want to know, well, what is that? You know, the idea is, well, the gospel is the good news. Well, that's true, it is. But there's much more to that. You know, we are to obey the gospel. Woe to them who obey not the gospel. Preach another gospel. Well, you're not just talking about good news there, you see. But the gospel contains is this divine book, which contains to us certain facts about Christ. And so we've discussed what those facts are. And why aren't those facts that this book here, this book divine reveals, aren't those facts a lot different than the facts of the so-called facts the world would have you believe about Jesus? Two entirely different men, aren't they? One is divine. One is the Son of God. One is the man with all authority in heaven and earth. And the other is just a good moral man, a good moral teacher. I don't know, some even say, oh, maybe he was married to Mary Magdalene. What was that? You remember that old Da Vinci Code business and all of that? All that worldly nonsense, you know, foolishness. Paul, he's not about any of that. He just wanted to know Jesus Christ truly. Preach Christ crucified. And so we took that as our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2. The facts about Christ, we talked about that. The gospel reveals to us these great, essential, fundamental truths about Christ. And then also commands that are given from Christ, commands to obey. You see, you can't say you're preaching the gospel and you're leaving the commandments of Christ out. Christ, the great lawgiver, giver of the new covenant. And so there are commands, and we just touched on the plan of salvation in our Sunday morning lesson. We didn't even talk about, you know, worship or some of the other many commands that Jesus gave, church discipline, forgiveness, other things that Jesus mentioned. But these are the commands that are from Christ and his holy apostles that are found in this book that comprise the gospel. So if a man were to bring another gospel, what are we talking about? Well, he's either bringing a different Jesus to you than the one that God has revealed, than the one that actually exists. Or he's changing the commandments. He's preaching a different doctrine. He's going beyond the doctrine of Christ. And such a man we're not to receive. We're not to bid God speak. Okay, then, what I want to discuss with you this evening, there are these precious, exceeding great, precious promises that are found in Christ. So you have facts about Christ, commandments from Christ, and then blessings in Christ, promises in Christ. So if I obey to be just like me, man alive, boy, we create too much over there. Man, good cooks. Some of the best cooks and some of the best people in Lauderdale County are out here, I guarantee you. But if I fill David full of enough coffee and put him to work on that board, this is what I'd do. And I'm not going to do it. Because they wouldn't be able to read or write it anyway, would they? I don't think they would. You write better than mine. Anytime I write on a board like that, it ends up going up like this or down like this. I stand back and I look at it and think, man, alive, you cockeyed fool. You can't write a straight line. That's what typing does for you, you know. They don't put rules on these boards, you know. It wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? But if I had David stand up here, this is what I'd do. I'd say, David, I want you to write every beautiful, meaningful word in your Bible on that board. Now you think about this with me. We'd start, of course, with love, wouldn't we? Right? Greatest of these is love. let's just think about this. What will we go to next? Grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense, grace, the favor that God gives of his own doing, of his own accord. Nobody forced God, manipulated, tricked. Nobody lived so wonderfully that God said, oh, they deserve it. No. It's God out, the outpouring and the manifestation of who he is. Who he is at his core. That's grace. Mercy. We talked about redemption this morning. To buy back, to purchase that which has been sold, but we're all sold under sin. The wages of sin is death. So there we are. We bartered our soul at the devil's pawn shop for some cheap thrill, some cheap sin. And we don't have the perfect blood in and of our own veins to buy that soul back. So God comes with the blood of his Son and redeems us by that precious blood, Ephesians 1, verse 7. So we have redemption. We put that on the board. We'll think about this now. We'll go further. Forgiveness. Wiping the slate clean. What about this word? Justification. You've probably heard justification defined as just if I had never sinned. Right? Justified. Justification just simply means this. It means getting right with God. As the prophet asked, is thy heart right with God? We have that in one of our hymns. Beautiful hymn. Great invitation song. Is thy heart right with God? Well, I want my heart to be right with God. When my heart is made right with God, I am justified in the sight of God. I am right with God. You know, we might say an old hymn, get right, church, and let's go home. Well, when we get right with God, we're justified. Now, how do we get right with God? Well, it's right there in Romans 3 as well. You know, I quoted just a moment to Romans 3. Maybe I quoted Romans 6:23, but Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in that same passage, if you'll start verse 21 and read through the end of that chapter, you're going to find that justification is where? In Christ Jesus. Justification in his blood. So just think about that. Let's just review for a moment. We're talking about love. We're talking about grace. We're talking about mercy, redemption, forgiveness, justification. How about this word? Sanctification. It's the same word, it's all tied in with the word saint. A saint is a sanctified one. Well, what does that mean? And is sanctification sanctified, a saint? What is it? Well, a saint is someone who has been set apart for a holy purpose. To be sanctified is to be made set apart, but for a holy purpose. This building, in that sense, is sanctified, is it not? It's been set apart by the members of this congregation throughout its history for the holy purpose of coming here and conducting worship. That dry erase board, you see, that kind of thing. Now, we have sanctified it, not God. That's the difference. But we're saying, hey, this belongs to the church, and so we need to handle it accordingly, right? You know, if I just showed up in a pickup truck and trailer one day and started hauling pews out here and said, well, guys, I have a barbecue at the house and I want to take some of these pews, you'd probably stop me, right? Well, no, Andy, those pews aren't for that purpose. We don't want you to grub your barbecues to salt-stained fingers wiping all over our pews anyway. But that's not what those pews are for. Those pews are for our worship service, right? What are you indicating? Those have been set aside for a special purpose. Well, beloved, that's what you are. You're set aside by God for a special purpose. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and following, we read about how we're saved by grace through faith, right? Ephesians 2, 8, very familiar passage. But when you keep reading that passage, you come to verse 10, what do we find? Well, we find that new birth, how we've been born again, unto good works. Unto good works. All right, now, we'll circle back to something here. In tomorrow night's lesson, I'm gonna, Lord willing, I'm gonna talk to you about the one thing that we have to do. There's one job that we have to do. Now, there are many jobs that we have to do that come secondary, that are supplemental to it. But there's one work that we have to do as Christians. One thing that we've been set aside to do. And then Tuesday night, again, Lord willing, what I hope to do is to talk to you about this mission that we have in Christ, but even more importantly, the motivations that we have in this gospel. You see, what we're talking about now, the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of God, all of these spiritual blessings found in Christ, these things ought to motivate us, should they not? And so we'll walk through a beautiful passage by the Apostle Paul, where he indicates his motivations, all that he went through, and yet how he remained motivated, even to be able to say in his last letter to Timothy, I fought the good fight. I'm ready to be offered, I'm ready to go. He stayed the course as he did because he was a motivated man. And I want to tap into some of those motivations with you. And I'll say this, Wednesday night, well, Wednesday night we're going to burn a barn down. And I hope we have a house full. But that title of that lesson is going to be, woe to them who obey not the gospel. Those who obey not the gospel. And the woes pronounced. There's no worse thing that can be said of a person than to be lost. It doesn't matter what we've done in our lives, how much money, cars, whatever. No matter how many grandkids we have. You know, that's what I thought you were going to say this morning. Something's happened. I got word a couple of weeks ago that Jackson and his wife are expecting my first grandbaby. And so keep Jackson and Emma Faith in your prayers. We've got Emma Faith, that's Jackson's Emma. We've got Emma Grace, that's my Emma. So now Emma Grace was expecting my first grandbaby, then tell you what, we have a whole different tone of this conversation, but it's thankfully it's in my faith, so we don't want to mistake that. And boy, I tell you what, I think sometime around the end of the year, first of next year. So we pray for a happy grandbaby to come, happy and healthy, and a happy and healthy mama. I made the mistake, I got excited and made a post on Facebook about it a couple of days ago, and then got a sweet little message, you know, Dad, can you take that off? I want to wait until the second trimester. Okay, sure. I'm sorry. Yeah, man. But it's something, isn't it? But you know, if I could have a passel of grandbabies, would make a bit of difference in the world to my soul if I wasn't right with God, if I was lost. So we'll talk about that. Now let's come back to this. Lostness. Well, this presents to us another great word. What does that mean? Well, to be lost is to be separated from God, just in simplest terms. The sheep that wanders away is lost, right? Christ teaches us that in Luke 15, right? He leaves the 99, goes after the one that is lost. What is it? He's missing. He's separated from the flock. He's separated from the shepherd, right? What separates us from God? Sin. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is short and can't save. His ear is hard of hearing, it's dull and can't hear. But your sins have separated you from your God. He will not hear your prayers. So our sins have separated us from God. Now, here's what the beautiful thing that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, as he goes through this, he says, listen, we're ambassadors for Christ, we're standing in Christ's stead, beseeching you on his behalf, we're imploring, we're begging, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be out there separated and on your own. God was in Christ. Now notice this, reconciling the world unto himself. We don't reconcile God to us because God's not the one who sinned against us. But God, in his tender mercy, is reconciling us to him. In Christ Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world. In Christ. What is the gospel? The blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings in Christ. Well, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, how many are outside of Christ? Not nary a one. Now let it sink in. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, the love, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the redemption, the reconciliation, the sanctification, the justification, all of these great, wonderful words that we're using in this lesson, if every one of those are found in Christ, which one of them are found out of Christ? Not one. No, not one. Not one. Not one. So then I must be in Christ to receive these blessings. And if I'm outside of Christ, I don't expect to receive any of them. In fact, what does the Bible say in Ephesians 2:12? There's no hope in this world without God. Outside of Christ, no hope. That's another great, tremendous blessing that's in Christ. Hope. Hope that saves. Hope that delivers. Hope is an expectation of something good. It's not just expectation, but it's an expectation of something good. Listen, when I was a boy, and mama or daddy would say, we get home, you're getting a whip. Or if you get in trouble at school, when you get home, you're getting in trouble at home. Right? You get a whipping at school, that's fine. You get a whipping at home. You know, I told them once. I never told them ever again. I figured after that one whipping I got at home, I said, it's up to you to find out. I'm just going to roll the dice and take my chances. Maybe the teacher will remember at parent-teacher conference. Maybe she won't. That's a chance I'm willing to take. Right? All right? But I could expect, as you wait till we get home, boy, well, I could expect. But that wasn't hope. That's expecting, but it's not hope. Hope is expecting something good. What do we expect? Paul says he was a Southern preacher, you know. I reckon that the suffering of this present age cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's hope. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. What God has prepared for those who love him. That's hope. That's the hope that saves. Now, let's go back and tie this together. So here I am lost. But the gospel, when obeyed, and the Christ of that gospel, by his love, mercy, grace, forgives me. He reconciles me to the Father. He who knew no sin became sin, that I might be made, here's another tremendous word, the righteousness of God in him, and thus justified, sanctified, made right with God, set apart by God, added to his kingdom for a holy purpose, with a work to do, a purpose in life. And I'm living in this state of grace. So I walk in the light as he is in the light, have fellowship with my brethren. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Everyone is a daily cleansing. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, I moved down here to preach from Pleasant Valley. What's it been now? 14 years ago. I had a head full of hair. The outward man perishes. You're old, you lose your hair, your eyes. Well, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, isn't it? You've become fearful of heights, right? The golden bowl broken in the cistern, and so forth and so on. Sure, that's life. The outward man perishes. You know that, don't you? Ultimately, it'll return to the dust from whence it came. But in Christ, the inward man is renewed day by day. The blood of Christ provides us with an everyday cleansing. this everyday cleansing is only in Christ Jesus. This is the blessing that is in the gospel. So you have facts about Christ that are found in the gospel. You have commandments from Christ that are found in the gospel. And then you have these beautiful blessings, these exceeding great, precious promises that are given to us by Christ, from Christ, in Christ. And they're in this gospel. So when we're talking about the gospel and preaching the gospel, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, listen, God and his relationship with man, and how that relationship can only be made right in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. There's no other way for a man to be right with God outside of Jesus Christ, his Son. And the world remains, the world that is outside of Christ remains in a lost condition. And it's why the world is as it is. Sin. Here's another tremendous word, atonement. It's a world that is unatoned for. It is a world that is abandoned to the hardness of its heart. And man's inhumanity to man continues to make countless millions more. And we see it every day. We read about it in our papers. We watch it on the nightly news. And we know why it is as it is. Because we've been called by God, who's condescended down to man. He's stooped down to this old world in the presence of his Son. And he's taken us by the hand, and he's reached us, and he's pulled us up to greater heights. And he said, now come up here and see it as it truly is. And view the world and view life and know wisdom as I give it. And we look and we say, ah, it makes sense. The evil, the pain, and the suffering, and the wickedness in this world, Lord, you're not looking down on us with a crooked grin on chaos that you created. You're looking down with a broken heart and a tear in your eye. The consequences of the sin, chaos that we create because we didn't love you enough to obey. We were selfish and self-centered and hard-hearted, and we reap what we sow. Indeed, the wages of sin is death. The way of transgressors is hard. And yet God says, well, even still, there remains hope. But it's found in the way that I provide. You can't provide it. The way of man is not in itself. It's not in man that walks to break his own step. It's in the way that I give you. And I give you Jesus. I give you this gospel. I give you these commandments. And I give you these promises. And it's up to you to determine what will you do with Jesus? That's the very question, isn't it? And that's a question that each of us has to answer for ourselves personally. No one can answer that for you. My beloved, when you come to understand the facts about this man Jesus, the God who became flesh and died for our sins, when you come to understand and truly obey these commandments that this Christ has given, you'll receive these blessings and inherit these promises. And it's the greatest life that you can live. Oh, a life sometimes full of suffering, yes. But whatever we're called to suffer cannot be compared with what God has in store. The thing with this faith of ours, the last is always greater than the first. I want you to come and live it with us and experience this life. If you're subject to the invitation, God bless you.